Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 62 on September 10th, 2013. Let's dive right into that old mailbox. Here's my first one. Greetings, Ruby Rider. You do not know me, but I know of you from my time browsing Reddit Pegging. You're quite the celebrity there. I'm assuming that your persona here is the same individual. Your posts there are great. I love reading what you write. Thank you so much for helping me become comfortable talking to women about pegging. It wasn't always easy, but your posts made it seem so much less taboo. Anyway, I'm not here to ask you for anything. I just wanted to say hello and thank you. I hope you're well. Jay. Jay. The part of your post that warmed my heart is that I helped you to be more comfortable talking to women about pegging. You know, there is so much shame and embarrassment and that urge to hide it all away for most men who are interested in pegging. So, if I was instrumental in any way for you to feel less of all that and more like it's just another way to have sex and to feel comfortable enough about it where you were able to bring it up to women you meet, awesome. Thank you for writing in. Okay, here's the next one. Thanks for the information, the stories, the podcast, and the site. It took me a few years of the whole pegging means you're gay and feeling bad about myself and being judged. My very first girlfriend introduced me to pegging at age 16 and then dumped me a few years later. Nothing's been the same since then. I joined the military, and after deploying to Afghanistan and coming back, it was harder to open up to anyone in general. I found a few girls who would try it, but most gave me a hard time about it. I'm currently engaged, and while she doesn't love pegging, she's at least making the effort to accept me for who I am. To me, it's all about being vulnerable and emotional. I love that feeling. Anyway, keep up the good work. I really enjoy the reading. Bye. M. Wow, M. Thanks for the letter. You definitely started earlier than most, at age 16. That's pretty unusual. It must have made it difficult with all the women you met after that, as, you know, they probably wouldn't have even begun to explore the more edgy areas of sexuality. And you were already well-versed in at least that one. Yeah, it makes me sad to hear that women gave you a hard time about it after that. That kind of drives me crazy, the giving men a hard time thing. Really crazy. I mean, intellectually, I get why they do it. It's out of ignorance, and it's because they bought into the myths and misconceptions that most women, in fact, most people do. You know, they do not know any differently, but at the same time, it reinforces the whole stupid gender preference assumption bullshit. And again, one of these days, being gay will be a non-issue and never, ever used as an insult. Then, when that happens, you know, think about it. It won't really matter. Because there'll be no defensiveness when accused, quote-unquote, of being gay. There'll be just, like, calm denial. Very calm denial. Because it's no longer seen as a negative. And it never fucking should have been. Okay, can you guys tell this riles me up? Man, it so does. Okay, another thing your letter made me think of, this is not the first time I've heard about returning from war and having trouble opening up. I have a friend who talked to me a bit in detail about how they train soldiers before they go to war. Hearing what he had to say to me, and knowing that all these years and all these wars, our military thought that they could condition soldiers to fight, and it is really a programming, a conditioning, and I suppose it's necessary, but then to expect them to return and that there would be no psychological repercussions when they return home? Yeah, that's just fucking stupid, if you ask me. Finally, they're starting to recognize and talk about this problem with the PTSD and all that, and getting our soldiers some help, so it's awesome. But it feels just so wrapped up in that macho, never let them see you're vulnerable, that you hurt, that you have normal insides, just like everyone else. So, you know, perhaps you need to bury that part when you go to war, the emotional part. I can't imagine how a soldier could ever fight without compartmentalizing their emotions and putting them aside. But to connect this with the pegging thing, interestingly enough, you are the second soldier that has talked about pegging, allowing him to access his vulnerable and emotional side. And perhaps to even, in his opinion, attain some healing from that, because walking around in normal life, he doesn't go there, to the vulnerable place. So I'm interested in hearing from any other veterans, soldiers, who have noticed this, who enjoy pegging because of finding that vulnerable emotional space. I'm interested to hear from any of you guys or women, even though it's going to be different for the women because you're going to be doing the pegging. But I just wanted to acknowledge that, yes, there absolutely are veterans and soldiers out there that are women as well. But I want to hear from the guys where that sits inside you, that combination of the man's man persona and what it's like to discover the vulnerable part of yourself through this sexual act. So if that describes you, write me and tell me your story. So I am really, really glad that you have found a woman who is interested in accepting you for who you are. I mean, we all dream of that. And the lucky among us find it. So I'm happy for you. Thanks for writing. Here's another letter. I just came across your page. I'm doing research because a female friend and I were talking about sexual fantasies, and I mentioned I want to get pegged. It turns out she's wanted to peg a guy. I've explored anal play on my own. I actually have my butt plug in right now. I think the info you provide helps us enjoy our first pegging experience. Great letter. Okay. So you, sir, have a friend with benefits and you're thinking about exploring pegging. That's totally awesome. I would have loved to be a fly on the wall when that conversation took place. I mean, you know, perhaps it was nothing remarkable, but I find it refreshing and encouraging that young people who are friends can just have a conversation about sexual fantasies and discover a mutual desire to explore pegging. That's just so freaking cool. And aren't you the saucy one writing me with your butt plug in? I don't usually wear a butt plug when I do the podcast, but I have been known to wear one when I write my erotica, absolutely. I would like to think that the information I offer does indeed help people get more enjoyment from their first experience. But also, not to have really high expectations as well, because, you know, the learning curve takes time. And the practice, like I always say, practice is a lot of fun. But knowing some of the hints for a smoother experience is really, really helpful in the beginning. So for you newbies listening, and for you, sir, who wrote in, let me just throw a couple of really important ones out there for the newbies listening, just in case you haven't heard of this before. Here's two really important things to remember when you very first start pegging. For you women out there, who are doing your initial insertion, truly the initial insertion, the first time you are going to push that dildo into your guy's ass. Here is what you need to remember. You need to remember to push, well, first you need to remember to warm him up, but once you've done all the warm up and all that, this part is really important. Literally, that first insertion, you're going to want to put the tip of that dildo in there and push a little bit until he starts to open, and then you just sit still. You don't push forward, and you don't push back. You just stay there and allow him some time to open up his ass. Here's why you don't push forward or pull back. You don't want to pull back because you'd like to make some ground here. You'd like to actually get that dildo inside his ass, right? But the most important part is that you don't keep pushing forward. There's going to be a little resistance, see? And if you keep pushing forward, when that sphincter lets go, you're going to slide all the way in really abruptly, and it doesn't really feel very good. So women out there, if you've had that happen to you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So the initial insertion, push in a little bit till you meet resistance, and wait and hold. And sometimes, you know, your guy's sphincter will open up, and he will back up against you onto your toy. Obviously, you know he's ready then, but don't keep pushing forward because that's going to slam it in there when that sphincter lets go. That's number one. Here's your second clue for the day, the newbies. Men, when you are receiving that insertion, You want to push out like you are trying to have a bowel movement. This works remarkably well for women or men. Women receptive anal sex, you do the same thing. That really helps to open up both sphincters, the voluntary and the involuntary one. And remember that because it's a great trick. I mean, those sphincters are used to opening up when there's something on the inside ready to come out. But it takes a conscious effort to open them up so that the outside toy that you have trying to come inside, that happens smoothly as well. So remember that. That would be your second hint. Okay, here's my next letter. Ruby, thank you so much for this website. I have loved getting rim jobs for some time now, and I've always fantasized about getting pegged. My girlfriend had never gotten into ass play before and actually loves it when I rim her, and she told me that she has the strongest orgasms when I am pleasuring her vaginally and I play with her ass and stick a finger in. She is not into anal, though, because she is afraid that it is just going to hurt. We have talked about her using a strap-on, and she's open to it, but always brushes it aside, and I think it is because she thinks that she's going to hurt me. How do I approach her to do anal and like it without her thinking, he just wants to fuck my ass? Once again, I am so happy that I found this site, and it has great information. Thank you. C. Well, first, how you make sure that she gets that you're not just out there to fuck her ass is you tell her that you want her to play with your ass and that it is perfectly okay with you if you two just practice fucking your ass. And it's perfectly okay that she never ever wants hers fucked. But you have to mean this if you say it, so don't say it if you don't mean it. Tell her that anal sex hurting, anal sex being painful, is a common misconception, and it does not ever have to hurt. The reason this myth persists is that few people really know what they're doing, and that usually results in less than optimum first experiences, and, you know, obviously read pain here, am I right? So, since the vast majority of anal sex between heterosexual couples is female receptive, the women are the ones getting hurt when the guys don't know what they're doing. Now, to add to the problem, many men think that porn is reality. It is not. Not only is porn not reality, but porn is not a goal to work towards. It is not a goal to attain. You know, I was at a feminist porn conference not too long ago at UCSB, and I heard porn star Dylan Ryan speak. And I'm going to paraphrase here what she said, but she said the moment that gave her a lot of pause was when she got a letter from a fan who happened to be a woman. And this woman said, you know, you rock, and gave her all kinds of accolades. And then this woman went on to say that she was still having trouble doing what Dylan did. She basically said, I can't make it work like you do. For example, taking his entire cock in my ass with no warm-up. This made Dylan realize just how much porn was a fantasy and how much of what they were portraying in porn is indeed a fantasy, which is exactly what she told the woman who wrote her. Porn is not real. You cannot spit on your hand and use it as your only lube for fucking anal sex. Let me make a differentiation here. Can you? Sure, you can. Will the person you're fucking enjoy it a fucking lot more if you actually use lube? Why, yes, they will. Another way porn is not real is that the actors and actresses receiving anal have taken muscle relaxers before having that enormously huge cock pushed up their ass. This was confirmed by a guy who was doing gay porn on a forum board that I participated in. That, as well as the pre-lubed part, he confirmed that as well. They're all pre-lubed. You cannot do anal without lube, people. Not enjoyably, at least. So anyway, this is part of the problem. This is why so many people have bad experiences, or have heard of people who have had bad experiences, mostly women. If you're someone who's ignorant about anal basics and you're thinking it's just like porn, this is a bad, bad combination. So the newbie anal play for men article would be a good article for your girlfriend to read if she is game. And of course, I'm going to post that on the Linkorama. And then, you know, reassure her that you fucking her is completely off the table until or unless she decides to give it a try. But, you know, you can go on to explain the whole male G-spot thing and ask her if she's willing to explore it with you. Yeah, a lot of women think that. A lot of women think that, you know, guys let women play with their asses just so the guys can then fuck the women's asses. So just reassure her and let her know that this is not what you're intending and you must stick with it. You cannot stick a finger in there in a moment of weakness. Not okay. Certainly not stick your cock in there. And I'm assuming you know better than that. But also, be sure to rock her world sexually. It's always a good way to put your girlfriend in more receptive mood, receptive to new ideas, new kinds of sexual play. And while you're at it, when you ask her about the pegging, you know, question her a little bit. Inquire as to whether or not she has any other reasons for the back off. And, you know, go down the list, the usual list. You know, are you afraid I'm gay? Are you afraid I will replace you with a man? Are you afraid that's all I'm going to ever want? Are you afraid that I won't find you attractive once you strap one on? And are you concerned it will compromise your femininity? Are you concerned that it will just feel really weird and awkward? Are you concerned it's going to be messy? And, you know, you can always let her listen to this podcast. There's an idea. But also, be patient. No pushing, information, and gentle persistence. Communication. Thanks for writing in. Let us know if there's some success there and if you guys, if I can play the music for you in the pegging celebration thing. And for the new listeners, I play the music when we have a pegging celebration time, defined by usually when a couple first does the deed. But you have to send me your story, told in whatever way you like, briefly, you know, explicitly. And you get, that's how you get the celebration music played for you. Okay. Thanks for writing in, C, and best of luck to you and your girlfriend. Okay, here's another letter. Great website. Glad I stumbled across it. It's comforting to know that there are so many pegging lovers like myself. Your content and education is excellent. Nice not feeling strange about my pegging desires. Love women, especially a confident one wearing a strap-on. So sexy. Cheers, E. E, thanks for writing in. It is comforting, isn't it? You know, I hear that over and over again. That's the first step to getting more comfortable with the idea is to know that you're not alone, that there are a fair number of us who are over the moon with excitement about pegging, too. Thank you very much for your kind words about my website. I appreciate that. And your comment about a confident woman wearing a strap-on. Indeed. Sometimes it takes a while to get there, to have that confidence. But women who love pegging or discover a love for it eventually become quite confident about it. Not necessarily meaning that they post pictures of themselves up on the internet like I do. But I'm kind of special that way. But ladies who are listening, this is a big factor in a man's turn-on while pegging, confidence. I hear from guys who say that in the beginning it's kind of weird when women are really afraid of hurting them. And, you know, honestly, if you're going to err on either side, I and probably your boyfriend or partner, would much rather you be too careful when starting out than not careful enough. But at some point in time, you kind of have to take what you've learned about his body intersecting with your strap-on and just run the fuck and do it with confidence. I've heard stories about women who keep saying, "Are you okay? Am I hurting you? Are you sure you're okay?" And their thrusts are timid, and that's being generous. But, you know, now if the guy has played with his ass, you know, with dildos before, then, and he's likely in whatever position thinking to himself, "Just fuck me." But, you know, it takes time to learn and time to get good at it. And eventually, you know, she'll take your ass with confidence the way you crave it. You know, this obviously has something to do as well with the thinking that it's going to hurt. That's why women are so timid in the beginning. You know, a lot of times the ass fuckings that they have received are not real pleasant. So it's a whole different kind of learning curve as well. But one of the sexiest things, undeniably, is confidence. You know, though it's hard to feel it in the beginning if you're new at something. And once again, practice, practice, practice. I love to practice. Okay, next letter. Ruby, just wanted to say you rock. I love your podcasts and your message. Curious, what is the name of the theme music for your podcast? I really dig the tune. Great job, Jay. Hey, Jay, this music that I play in the beginning of my podcast came from a website called neosounds.com, N-E-O, neosounds. This website sells clips for royalty-free use of music, and these clips are specifically designed for podcasts and things like that. So, when I started planning for my podcast, I knew that I needed music in the beginning and at the end, and I wanted to pick something that fit, something that was kind of sexy, and this one absolutely does. The person that makes this, that wrote this music, is called Lynn Music, L-Y-N-N-E. She, I'm assuming, is the creator of this piece, and she is selling a lot of different kinds of music clips for use with podcast commercials, TV theme songs, whatever. And it really is all kinds of music. It's good stuff. This particular piece is called Boogie Night. Here is the description that she wrote for this clip. A hot-blooded and sexy, swaying, slow surf rock track with 1960s guitar style. Very Tarantino-esque. Perhaps a strip bar, dirty nightclub, or just a very hot femme fatale. Irresistible, but dangerous. 70s to 90s rock, general rock, erotic, sexy, lazy, unhurried, and electric guitars. So, I'm glad you're enjoying the music. Thanks for asking about it so that I could give Lynn Music a free commercial. Seriously, if you're going to do a podcast, you need to be sure that the music you use is legally obtained, because the music you use can become such a distinguishing characteristic of your podcast, so it can be really evocative of your work, so it pays to choose carefully, because using someone else's stuff without paying royalties is absolutely not legal. So yeah, I bought this clip, and I love it. I absolutely love it. Okay, next question. We just got the Jacques harness and a couple dildos from Vixkin. After years of getting bruises from the snaps and buckles on the vacuum lock harness, my wife finds the spare parts Jacques very comfortable. A good time was had by all. Well, that's not really a question. That's just a comment. Thank you, sir, for writing in. The reason I say it like that is that there are diehard vacuum lock fans out there. And though I have never owned one, I don't suggest them for two reasons. One is that they're limited in terms of the dildos they offer that work for the setup that specifically have the vacuum lock attachments. The other is that Doc Johnson makes them, and they're actually not a real reputable manufacturer. Quite honestly, they make a crap load of toxic toys, so I'm reluctant to buy anything they make at all. Of course, there is not much to compare against the spare parts harnesses if you are looking for comfort, though. The other part of that you bought the spare parts, that is totally awesome. They are ultimately comfortable. I recommend them without reservation for anyone looking for the most comfortable harness. So I'm really glad that you found a comfortable new harness and that your wife is not getting bruises anymore. And now, think of all the dildos you have to choose from. All the colors and the sizes and shapes and curves and everything. Seriously, thanks for writing in. The more we share our experiences and our knowledge, the better we're going to all be able to be about doing pegging, about making good toy choices, and trying to figure out what works for each one of us. Okay, this is a really short message that I got, but it cracked me up, and it was a great excuse to answer this question. Here it is. I love your podcasts. Is there any one of them that is particularly explicit? You are so looking for wank material, dude. Oh my God. Yes, there are actually. Are in the plural sense. If you are looking for explicit podcasts, I would first recommend Podcast 51. Podcast 51 contains some torrid emails exchanged between myself and Zach, a man I am having an illicit email relationship with, as well as the co-author of a few stories that I have posted recently that he and I wrote together. There are also three erotic stories that I have recorded that are available to listen to on my website. So all you iTunes listeners out there, I can't post those erotic stories up because there is an X-rated material. Well, here's how iTunes works for X-rated material. It has to be educational. So therefore, I can't post erotic stories. It has to be something educational. I mean, you know, never mind that you could be listening to a story and it could teach you something that you are eager to try with your partner the next time you get together. It doesn't make any difference. Erotic fiction cannot be posted. So even though I talk about cocks and pussies and dildos and fucking and sucking and rimming and kissing and phew, as long as it's not erotic fiction, it's okay with iTunes. So right now, the audio stories that are available for non-members are Power Play, Hard Times at the Hotel, which is actually the very first little funky story that I wrote when I signed up on the dating site Adult Friend Finders. There was a question in the profile that said, describe your favorite sexual fantasy. This was at the beginning of my pegging explorations, and I decided to take my writing skills and make a short little story that had everything I wanted in it. I literally asked myself in my head, okay, if you could have anything you wanted, what would you want? And I wrote that story. So that is actually one of the stories that is for free that you can read on my website, and I have also posted an audio recording of it as well. And then there's another audio recording of a recent story called The Beating. And, of course, that's obviously got some BDSM overtones to it. You can only access these from my website. They are not on iTunes. In total, I actually presently have 8 recorded stories of the 36 or so that are up there. But the other 5 are for my members, and here's how the erotic story memberships work. First of all, currently there are 36 stories posted. This includes all the free ones as well. Let me tell you what you can find for free on my website. You can find the two that I mentioned, Power Play and Hard Times at the Hotel. There are another couple of short stories called My Favorite Hobby and Careful What You Ask. There is one called The Beating that I posted in the general blog section that you're able to find. I did not put that up for my members. I wanted everybody to be able to read that, and I did make an audio recording of it. And then there's 2 more that I wrote with my friend Zach, called Soldier Boy and Welcome Home. So all of those are ways that you can sample what my flavor of writing is, these erotic pegging stories that I do. And then altogether, there are 36 stories that are posted up. So here is how the memberships work. I needed to keep a theme. So the lesser level of membership is called the 6-inch subscription. This will get you 1 story a month for an entire year, and you will have access to 3 stories at a time, the story for the current month, as well as the 2 previous months. The next subscription is the 9-inch subscription. That costs $20. Oh, and if I didn't mention it, the 6-inch subscription costs $15. Just $15. So the 9-inch subscription costs $20. The 9-inch subscription, you will receive 1 story a month for an entire year, and you will also have access to 6 stories at a time, the story for the current month as well as the previous 5 months. Or you can splurge, and I really do mean splurge. The top level subscription is called the I Want It All subscription, and that's $50. So if you subscribe to I Want It All, not only will you receive one story a month for an entire year, you'll also have access to all the archive stories, which are currently 36, and you also have access to all of the audio stories. Any other erotic stories that I have recorded, which number 5 at this point, you will have access to, and the other two levels actually don't. So that would be $50 a year. And you know, the last time I checked that out, I think it worked out to about 75 cents a story. It's just incredibly freaking cheap. And I don't mean cheap like not worthy. I mean just the most amazing deal you could possibly imagine if you really like what I write. I write erotic pegging stories, and most of them have a little bit of a femdom leaning to them, not all of them. There are some sensual pegging stories in there. They're more unusual than usual. So if that is the flavor of what you love, then you know where to find it. That is how my subscriptions work. Okay, here's my last message. How did you enjoy Denver? The classes in Denver were actually amazing. What a great group of people. You know, in a class about pegging, it's kind of rare to have a lot of interactiveness with the people who attend the class. And I don't know, I think that's mainly because pegging is still an edgy thing. It's still rather taboo, and it's kind of embarrassing for a lot of people to talk about, even people who have intentionally come to a pegging class. So you know what? Kudos to you, Denver, for getting it right, for relaxing and asking all kinds of questions and having fun. You guys were actually the most fun class that I have taught ever. Classes are so much more enjoyable that way when people ask questions and interact. Let's see, thank you to the two gentlemen who were kind enough to roll around on the floor with me and demonstrate a few positions so that the visuals would stick in people's minds, even though the descriptive words may not have. Let's see, thank you very much to Saskia in the rack room of Denver, California. they'd kick my ass for that. Denver, Colorado. Rack, as in rack room, stands for Risk Aware Consensual Kink. The rack room is a private studio and dungeon, and it serves as a venue for personal projects and professional sessions, also for private rentals, photo and video shoots. They're not a public or a membership-based club, but they do open their doors sometimes for private parties and classes, and my pegging classes were one of the lucky ones. Saskia also hosted me about a year ago. So, you know, big thanks to Saskia in the rack room. I had a wonderful time with a couple of friends in Denver, and it's really actually nice to be able to say that because my first time in Denver was not that long ago, and to feel connected and welcomed and to be able to connect with friends there was really special and very heartwarming. I enjoyed seeing all my friends there. One of the things I also enjoyed a lot was the warmer weather. You know, though I must say, you Colorado people do not do well in hot weather. You crank up the air conditioning and turn every inside space into a 62 to 65 degree zone. And you know, that temperature actually necessitates a light jacket on my part. But hey, you know what you're going to do? You laugh at my shivering when I go there in the winter. It's all about what you're acclimated to. But thanks, Denver. I had a blast. And by the way, I totally got felt up by an overeager new, quote, end quote, TSA agent. I always opt out with the whole body scan thing. And the difference between the Santa Barbara woman, because they always do same sex, okay, when they pat you down, which was a real disappointment the first time I found that out. I mean, I suppose I could have figured it out, sort of a hello, a no-brainer, but I had the fantasy in my head, I admit. Anyway, the Denver woman, as compared to the Santa Barbara. Okay, first of all, the Santa Barbara woman actually remembered me from last year when I flew out of Santa Barbara. I don't know, I guess maybe not many people opt out of the whole body scan thing. But the difference between these two women, Santa Barbara and Denver, was dramatic. The Denver woman was heavy with her hands. I was actually thinking, you know, that if I were a little bit bisexual, it may have been more exciting. It was almost exciting, but, you know, that's not what I prefer as women, but I actually asked her at one point. I said, "So do you find stuff on people very often?" And she replied, she said, "Well, I'm new, but yes, we do. I mean, you wouldn't believe it." Okay, the new thing, explained Ms. Heavy Hands. Totally. And, you know, in no way do I mean to be giving her a hard time here. She was just doing her job, and I get that. She was eager because she was new. And I'm just telling the story about what it was like from my end of the gloved hands. I'm actually a little bit dismayed after 9/11 that our country just didn't put a crapload of money into security and not the stupid body scan machines that were total overkill and have been shown really not to work, along with exposing people to massive amounts of radiation, far more than necessary. So this is why I use the pat-down, and I advise the pat-down. It's kind of fun to be the rebel, the different one, with the suitcase full of sex toys. By the way, Santa Barbara Airport put a TSA slip in the toy suitcase on its way out to Denver. I didn't get a TSA slip in the regular suitcase, and basically all it says is it got examined by the TSA, but, you know. I suppose in my regular suitcase there were not enough unidentified tubular items to warrant opening that one, perhaps. I did bring a lot of toys for Denver, I'm just saying. And I think, you know, the people that came to the class really appreciated that I had a lot of different examples about different equipment that I was talking about, and that always helps. Okay. All of you lovely listeners, thank you so much for downloading and listening. These podcasts would be nothing without you. And before I leave you, I have a really important announcement to make. I now have a phone number. I am so serious. I have a phone number so you guys can call me and leave me your questions. I mean, you're certainly welcome to write them in, but you are also welcome to call me and leave them on my answering machine. When you call in and leave your question, if you're okay with leaving a phone number in case I need to call you for more information regarding your question, because sometimes I really could use more information when you guys write in. If you're comfortable with leaving your phone number, please do. If not, not a problem. I will do my best to be psychic and read the inflections in your voice, along with the words that you choose, and hopefully using those and my intuition, and hopefully I'll be correct. The number you can leave your questions on is as follows. This is the new question line for Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast. 805-500-6544. Haha, got quite a ring to it, right? 805-500-6544. So leave your questions there, or your comments, or your stories, and I will do my best to get them on the air, so to speak. I can't wait to pick up my messages. I can't, you know, I'm so eager to see how this is going to work. It's an experiment. I do hope I can get these audio files onto the podcast. I've checked it out, and I'm pretty sure I can. Okay, so closing up here, you can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_Rider. Got a Facebook page and a profile. You can give me the thumbs up on my page. That would be awesome. You can subscribe to my blog, which provides you with all kinds of interesting reading. My podcast is on iTunes, and it can also be listened to directly on my blog. If you do download it from iTunes, take a moment and go and rate my podcast and write me a cool review. I would be most appreciative. And again, you can send all your questions and stories to ruby@peggingparadise.com, or you can actually call me and leave your question at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening once again. You guys all rock. Happy pegging.